St. Paul continues with the epistle to the Romans on today's Sunday, as it continues from last week. He talks again about the idea about sin and how sin affects us as far as our lives are concerned, and how we must understand that when we are in sin, especially in mortal sin, we are slaves of sin, we are slaves of the devil, and we cannot possibly gain any merit for ourselves as far as grace is concerned. So we have to purify ourselves by the sacrament of confession, and we have sin washed from our soul by God's grace and by our contrition and firm purpose of amendment, so that we can receive the grace of Almighty God to make us pure and more worthy of His blessings and of His sanctification. And in today's gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ very, 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 very clearly tells us, beware of false prophets and false teachers who are wolves in sheep's clothing. In the past, it was very, very simple. It was very, very easy for people who were, quote, born again, if you will, baptized of water and the Holy Ghost, to recognize the false prophets, because there were no false prophets that were very, very slick, if you will. Then what they taught was a deliberate and a very, very obvious teaching, which was contrary to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that their heresy, if you will, or their apostasy, depending on what they were, was very easy to notice because of that fact. They were the people who had been taught by the apostles or by the apostles and their disciples, and they had learned the Catholic faith, the fundamentals of the faith, to the point to where they could recognize what Almighty God expected from them as far as they were concerned, and what they needed to do as far as the sacraments were concerned, and it was very, very easy for them to maintain that understanding. But for individuals who were neophytes, who were new to the Catholic faith, or for individuals who had questionable faith and trust in Almighty God, they were easily swayed by teachings that were contrary because they were easier. All individuals as human beings of a fallen human nature, which is all of us except for two that we know that were born without original sin, one was conceived without original sin, all the rest of us after Adam and Eve who were born in the original sin, we have this weakness for sin, and as a result we always try to follow the easier path. We always try to follow the path that is easier for us and is not as difficult for us. And as a result of these things, we seek things that are easier. This is one of the reasons why and the Protestant Reformation, also called the Revolution of the Protestant Church, was so very, very successful, especially in Central Europe, because those individuals were taught a doctrine which was easier than the Catholic Church was teaching. So they flocked toward it. And as a result of these things, they said, well, you know, why should I bother doing all these things the Church tells me to do when I can just believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be saved by my belief alone? That's good enough. It's the same deal. We still go to heaven, and they fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And as a result of these things, the neo-Catholics, or the Protestant religion, flourished, especially in Central Europe. And here we are, almost 2,000 years after our Lord and Savior walked the planet, and we have a major crisis in Catholicism, because there are individuals who call themselves not Protestants. They don't call themselves Lutherans or Methodists or Presbyterians. They call themselves Catholics. And as a result of this thing, these individuals, they wear the emblem of Catholic on their forehead, if you will, and they have the external signs, the material signs of Catholicism, and yet, if you go into their teachings and their doctrines, and even their sacraments, they are contrary to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave us. It is a direct contradiction, and I have heard and I have written down of individuals who call themselves the vicars of Christ, who have directly contradicted Jesus Christ, and nobody under them, nobody in their circle, nobody in their religion questions it, because they say, well, he's the Pope, he can do whatever he wants. And this is a result of two things. It's a result of fear of being wrong, because they're questioning the vicar of Christ, the most important aspect, the second one, which is ignorance of their faith. If you look back into the teachings of the modernists, they have not taught catechism to their people to learn the true teachings of the Church since their inception. They have taught a catechism, but it is a revised version, as Protestants teach Protestant catechism, modernists teach modernist catechism, and it is a departure from the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It does not teach the same doctrine, it does not teach the same dogma, it does not teach the same teachings that Christ our Lord gave us. So very, very simply, these are wolves in sheep's clothing. compared with today's gospel, our Lord warns us. A lot of these individuals, they're very, very charismatic the way they speak. And as a result of our propensity or our weakness for sin, for looking for the easier way, their words are pleasing to us because it is an easier way. You don't have to abstain from me on Friday. We did away with it. They have to do that anymore. If it's right for you, then it's right. It's not a sin if you don't think it is. All these doctrines that they have introduced as a result of the modernist revolution have tainted the belief of these individuals who call themselves Catholic, who follow that train of thought. And as a result, it made them depart from the road that Almighty God wants us to travel on, and they've gone off like this. And so they still believe that they're right, because we have been taught individuals who are spiritually blind don't know that they're blind. And so they follow along with these teachings because it is convenient. It's a lot easier. Why should I bother doing all these things when I don't have to do them? This guy, the vicar of Christ, the Pope in Rome, says I don't do these things anymore, so it's easier for me to do it this way. And the end result is the same. I still go to heaven. And the most horrifying fact of all this is that by a passage of time, an inculcation of this doctrine over a period of years, these individuals become to fall into that mindset, to that belief system, to where they are following the wolf in sheep's clothing, to their ruin, to their destruction. Because they have watered down in their own mind, because of repeated indoctrination to this new way of thinking, they have watered down in their own mind the things that they learned when they were children. About the idea about God's law being absolute. About the idea of God telling us everything is just black and white. There is no in between, there is no gray, there is no compromise with Almighty God. It is His way or it's no way. All these things have been mitigated or changed or changed to the point to where it's almost the same but not quite. And as a result of doing things this way, what do we have? We have an individual, we have a group of people who are following a doctrine which is not, that does not have its basis in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's teaching, because they've changed the meanings, they've changed the definitions, they've made it more human, easier. And the answer very, very simply is, we're so far advanced though, the way they're 2,000 years ago, we're much superior than the way those people were. We're much more advanced than they are. So the church has to evolve as we evolve. Well, you know, if we go back into a book that I treasure very, very greatly called The Imitation of Christ, or for clergy it's called The Following of Christ, written by Thomas Kempis almost 800 years ago. 800 years ago. If you went to this book and you read what he talks about, you would swear he was writing this book last week. And it proves only one thing. Times may change, but people do not. Human beings are as ignorant and as sinful and as stupid as now as they were 2,000 years ago, or even more than that. Because now we have, by the grace of God, we have had in our possession the ability, by the grace of God, to learn from Almighty God what the truth really is, and to lay our lives around that truth. But individuals, because they are spiritually lazy, or because they have no time for it, because the devil has them so busy doing other things, there's no time for prayer. So my answer very, very simply is, with all the modern conveniences we have in the world today, all the automobiles and the grocery stores and everything else, how did an individual 1,000 years ago who had to build everything by his hands from scratch and go out and hunt for his food or grow his food himself, how did he have, taking care of his family and everything else, how did he have time for prayer? These individuals were much busier than we are. If we read the histories of individuals who came to this continent and moved west in wagon trains, the majority of them were dead before they were 40. Because the work and the whole idea of starting from scratch and building everything by your own hands and keeping it alive, keeping it going, keeping taking care of your family, just ground them into the ground until it killed them. So these individuals who had to do everything by themselves, by hand, made time for prayer and devotion to Almighty God. What is the excuse of individuals who live in the 21st century? Well, the modern conveniences that we have now. And the answer very, very simply is, well, things go faster, and we have more responsibilities, we have more things we have to do. But fundamentally, it boils down to the same thing. We have to make time for Almighty God in our life. We cannot listen to the wolves in sheep's clothing, because if we do, we're going to fall to that trap of compromising what we've been taught to believe. And it's not something that happens drastically. It's a very, very gradual process where we compromise. Over a period of years, we compromise ourselves to the point to where we start out here and we end up over here and we don't know the difference, because as we compromise ourselves, we make adjustments to that compromise. So it's very, very easy for us to understand how these individuals who go to the Novus Ordo think that they're just in great shape spiritually. They have no problems. They go to church on Sunday. They worship Almighty God. They love Almighty God. There's no doubt in my mind that they love Almighty God. There's no doubt in my mind that Protestants love Almighty God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind about it. The problem is, Almighty God has given us an answer to worship. He's told us how He wants us to pray, how He wants us to worship, and there's only one prayer in the universe that will pacify divine judgment for sin committed. And that prayer is this one right here, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, because of its infinite value. There's no other prayer in the world. There's no other prayer anywhere else to be located that has the value of this. And this is the only thing that pacifies Almighty God's judgment over mankind and His wrath to come. It is this right here. It appeases divine justice because it pays and atones for sins human beings commit. Since it is infinite in value, it is the one prayer that Almighty God demands from human beings to participate in to lessen the wrath of God towards mankind. And as long as the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is being said, even if it's only a few places in the world, judgment will not fall on mankind the way it did back with Noah and the flood. At least not for the present being, because the Mass is still being said in locations. Not as much as it was 50 years ago, to be sure. Not even as much as it was 25 years ago. But it's still being said. And as long as it is being said, as long as we have the privilege of attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass the way God wants it to be participated in, we can receive the grace from Almighty God to atone for the sins we've committed in our lives, for those of our members of our family, we can pray for them as well, and for our friends as well as for our enemies. And as long as the Mass is being said, because it has infinite value, even one Mass a day will hold back the wrath of God because of the infinite value of the Mass being said. So we are very, very fortunate in that context. But for those individuals who have brainwashed themselves, who have programmed themselves into a compromise of belief, they are following the wolves in sheep's clothing, and our Lord today's gospel warns us about them, and he uses the analogy about the good tree, one can only bear good fruit, the bad tree can only bear bad fruit. So if you look at these individuals and things that they're doing, not just what they're saying, but what they are doing, their behavior coincides with their belief system. And this is the reason why a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, because a good tree that has the grace of God working in it regularly cannot deliberately do things contrary to Almighty God and remain as a good tree. A bad tree, on the other hand, can never do things that are good because it does not have the grace of God in it. It can only do things that are evil because it itself is evil. So we have a decision to make as human beings and as children of God. What do we do as far as our lives are concerned? Do we continue to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ the way He gave them to us 2,000 years ago? And then He continues to give it to us now through the true Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, to the true sacrament, to the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the blessed body of Christ? Or do we compromise ourselves into a belief system which is at in certain points contrary to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's teaching? The decision is up to us, but very, very simply, taking today's epistle and gospel into mind, we have an obligation before Almighty God to seek it. To seek out the grace of God, to seek His truth, and to apply it to our daily lives, and not to allow ourselves to become lazy spiritually, not to allow ourselves to compromise our belief system even very, very gradually, because very, very gradual compromise over a period of time goes from year to year. So we need to keep these things in our mind and listen to the teachings of the scripture that we hear on the gospel epistle during the Mass on Sunday, and even during the week if we have time to read it, and listen to the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from His own mouth as well as from the mouth of His evangelists, and recognize the necessity of being being aware of ourselves to the point to where we recognize that this is the way it has always been, this is the way it is now, and there is a distinct difference. But I start to make the gradual changes, as the modernists did, starting out very, very gradually with the changes that they did, the replacement liturgy that they did. It's a very, very gradual transition to the point to where I gave people a chance to get used to the idea, and then they moved on to something else and made it further and further and further away from what Almighty God demands of us. So very, very simply, we must be aware of wolves in sheep's clothing, and we must go into the teaching system that they have, which go into their philosophy, and recognize whether or not it is, in reality, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or whether it has been compromised. And if it has been compromised, we have an obligation as children of God to avoid it, to pray for those individuals that God gives them the graces that they need to come back to the truth the way He gave it to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.